It is time to bring in Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets. Jim, an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics, bringing over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. And Jim, I have a beef that I'm going to pass along to you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I was driving into work yesterday morning early on Morning Edition. NPR is doing a whole series about feelings.
You're kidding.
And I wanted to vomit. But now we get past that. And then yesterday, the big vomit came. Now, the guy's a genius. The guy's brilliant and everything. The guy who runs Starbucks.
You're talking about Howard Schultz?
Yeah. He's everything that I would like as a businessman. But NPR spent 12 minutes talking to this guy. And they obviously spent longer than that. And they picked the best 12 minutes. The man never answered a question directly.
Ooh, he's a perfect politician. Yeehaw.
He never answered. He criticized people like Bernie Sanders, Medicare for All. He criticized Republicans. But when he was asked for his plans, once again, they were, you know, there was no answer. And this is not what we need in politics. I wanted to put the two together. Don't waste our time.
Well, I'm sorry. Okay, Jim, go for it. Because he never mentioned this to me.
I totally agree with what I was just saying. So much of our time is wasted by these very inept interviews, and you just have to be disciplined and turn them off. I am very thankful for the mute button and for the ability to move channels and so forth very, very readily.
But Marshall is the king of that. He's not talking about turning it off or how the NPR interview went, because he's edited a mess of interviews in his time. What he's talking about is Howard Schultz.
Yeah, I don't know how. I don't know why NPR decided to do this long-form interview, because there were no answers there. There were no answers there. And, you know, you could say what you want about Bernie Sanders' policies, okay? But you ask him why something will work, whether you believe it or not, he'll give you the answer.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about people like Bernie and some other people who are on the scene. Schultz is putting his hat in the ring. Is very, very unfortunate. I don't think he's going to get any traction, frankly. I hope he doesn't. The last thing we need is a third party. We need to cure the cancer that pervades our government at the moment based on the person who heads it. And our main goal, no matter who we vote for, is to vote for somebody to bring order to our country. And bring back civility and bring back the ability to live our lives in a way. You know, everything's not perfect, but, you know, you don't need to be constantly bombarded with negativity and with people who make money out of the negativity taking up time on the airwaves. I share very much obviously, your thoughts, and I think this too will pass. I'm hopeful it will pass. The world is really, unfortunately, at the moment, besieged all over the globe. And unfortunately, we are at risk because we do not have an executive in the White House who knows how to run the government or handle international affairs. And it's quite dangerous. And, you know, there's a lot of problems with the current resident in the White House. But I think the cabinet better start paying more attention to these ridiculous pictures that are presented of women being taped and taken from homes and so forth. As has been commented by people on this, Trump apparently has been watching some violent films that readily depict what he's talking about on all these tweets. And my concern is not the disgust that he is wasting everybody's time with this, but the fact that he is really entering a stage of mental instability. And I don't say that lightly. I say that as a citizen. We have to get together on this, folks. We have to get an executive who's not going to put us in danger. For instance, all of a sudden we're butting into Venezuela when the policies of this administration was, oh, we were going to get out of all these foreign involvements and let every country do whatever it wants to do. Well, instead, we're butting in and butting our heads against the Chinese and the Russians who've been trying to develop South America for its oil and for other political reasons. There are no wheels on this wagon anymore. They've all come off. We are in danger, and please be aware of that in terms of your investing, and be aware of that in terms of what's going on in the country, in terms of your safety. And again, I've been observing this thing, as you all have, maybe more so, maybe less so. But I hope you have a lot of cash. I hope you're not spending a lot of money. I hope you're taking care of the values of life and not necessarily consuming to distract yourself from what's going on. I want to point out something that I pointed out over a year ago. It was in the Dallas Morning News. It was a story that was not well covered at the time and really not followed up on. Mitch McConnell and other Republicans were involved in a situation where an oligarch had given them money in a pact. Now, it was legal because the oligarch had joint citizenship, or he got around the law in some way. However, this is being reinvestigated now, finally, by the Democrats after the Senate, headed by Mitch McConnell, basically lifted the sanctions on Russian oligarchs directly involved with this guy and with Putin. And those sanctions are going to put money in his pocket, and God knows where it goes in terms of being used against us politically or possibly militarily in other areas of the world. Please get on the story, Mitch McConnell. Also, something that left the headlines pretty quickly was within the last year, Elizabeth Chao, who is a secretary in the cabinet of Trump, her brother owns a major shipping company with ties to Russia. They do a lot of business with them oil-wise. But the story was and is and has never been properly vetted, one of the ships which he owns, which is going from point A to point B, was carrying a tremendous amount of cocaine. That story came and went without any investigation. I've said on the show a number of times, I do expect Mueller to be bringing out of the pail a number of Republicans who have been doing illegal things, who have been taking money from the Russians, legally or illegally. You know, if you take money legally and then you go and operate in the disinterest of the country by helping to sponsor legislation that is not for us but against us, that's more than illegal. It's immoral. It's traitorous. So please don't get distracted. And I know it's very, very difficult in this time. But we're doing things now in this country which are so far away from what is in our best interest. You might notice there's a lawsuit, criminal charges being levied against an executive of a very large Chinese phone company. And the lady who was an executive, she's been held up in Canada, and now we're trying to extradite her, to charge her with possibly stealing secrets. Well, this is all well and good, but, you know, we're trying to negotiate with China. We're trying to make a deal that will help everybody in this country and hopefully in fairness to China. So we're short-circuiting that. On the other hand, we watch one of our residents being killed, murdered in Saudi Arabia, and we haven't lifted a finger in terms of finding out truly who did it. Now, I think most people agree it was the prince, but that's not the point of this. The point is we choose, not we, but Trump chooses people who will help him. We do know that the Saudis have given a lot of money to Jared Kushner in helping to bail him out of his real estate problem at 666 Fifth Avenue. We have to open our eyes even wider than they are, because there's a lot more going on that is not in our interest.
Now, Jim, you bring up a whole bunch of things, and what comes to my mind is that I remember when Jimmy Carter was president. He came in as a different president, not really with ties with the way government was run, okay? He wasn't anti-government, but he was not familiar with all the strings of government. And so a truly brilliant, great man had trouble as president because he was detached really from the political reality of what government must do. Now, when Donald Trump was elected president and Steve Bannon was behind him, Steve Bannon, whether you like him or not, is an intelligent guy, but he was out. He wanted to not just bring the government down. He wanted to just bring the government and stop it. That's what he said that numerous times. He wanted to bring down the government and then rebuild from the ground up. Donald Trump as president, the thing that is happening is that there's so many different things going on. And that is the story you just brought up. This woman who's being arraigned, who's being held in Canada from China and is the president of this company, they already paid fines of millions of dollars for stealing the patent from T-Mobile. They know how they did it. They had people at T-Mobile that T-Mobile worked out a deal with China to let them assemble some of the phones, and they saw that they were stealing things and trying to replicate. So they've already been fined, and they've already been found guilty. Now you can go after her now if you want, because she's on territory that we can bring her in. But you have to look at any American that's doing business in China right now. What's that going to open the door for? See, that's something we don't consider. We don't consider that they've already been fined, and we know that they did this, and they've already been found guilty. So we don't consider the ramifications of holding somebody they consider to be a very important business person, what the ramifications can be there. We don't seem to consider the ramifications. Russia has already bought their bombers into Venezuela, and Iran has already sent people into Venezuela. We don't understand the ramifications of getting involved in the early stages of what's going on there. We don't know how to pull out from Syria. And these are all the things that a good foreign service connection with the White House would help with, and it's not there. And to me, these are the dangerous things about what's going on in our country.
And I would just like to interject, because I find it really interesting, weird, and this was Jonathan Swan off Axios yesterday, talking about how in 2017, when Venezuelans had essentially, you know, because this has been going on for ages,
yes,
eating, blah, 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 blah. But nobody in the nobody wanted to intervene at that time, even though this president did, because of what it would do, how it would roil the markets. I mean, he was absolutely that particular The foreign policy people that he had were flat against any intervention. And I just thought that was striking coming out.
Well, that's because he had a guy that I don't necessarily agree with, who was the head of the State Department.
He had Tillerson. He had Gary Cohen, who was massively against it because of the Venezuelan bonds.
I know, and what I'm saying is those people are no longer there. And that's the part, you're right, that's the dangerous part of what I see about what's happening in our government is, you know what? Nobody likes big government. But you know what? What the hell is there to replace it? You have to follow the pathways.
You always say that about you, and you often say that about flood, you know, when there are natural disasters. It's suddenly best way to get everybody on the back on needing government. You spend a bunch of time complaining about it, and then something horrible happens, and you need it.
You know, Jim, those are the things that tend to worry me. I mean, it's just a total detachment of that. You know what? Our government is not running on all cylinders. To be quite honest with you, it's barely running at all.
It's barely running at all. Well said. Barely running at all. We have yet to appoint 23 ambassadors to various countries around the world. We're 2 years into this administration. I mean, there's no answer to it. It's just ineptitude. It's just the inability for this government, this administration, rather, to focus on doing business. It's called managing the government. Now, I hope for most people they'd come to the conclusion that the wrong person is running the government, whether they voted for that person or not. The key is we must readjust our sights on what we need in terms of someone running the government. And the thing is, we really have got to start appreciating our government. I really think a lot of the problems citizens have nowadays in looking at things, they really don't understand the history of this country. They don't understand the economic crises we've been through, the military crises. You know, when you get down to that, then you truly appreciate your government. And it's not a government who basically is getting involved in your life necessarily and giving you agita. It's a government that in the 30s created legislation to get us out of the Depression and to put people back to work. It's a government that got into the Second World War to basically save democracies around the world, and in the process save us, incorporating things that would make us safe, which is why the idea of getting out of NATO, which is one of the greatest things that could be done in terms of world peace going forward, it's just insane. And yet people just go along with, oh, yeah, let's get out of these foreign involvements. And they don't think. They don't think of what they're talking about. We are so blessed in this country with the freedom, with the great affluence. And I know not everybody is affluent, but trust me, you're affluent when you are free, when you can vote. Where you can go to this state and that state, where can you change jobs, when you can practice your own religion or not practice it. Countless countries do not have these things. It's what makes life worth living, to be able to be free and to do these things. And our government enables us to do that. And taking power away from, for instance, the Justice Department, which is for us, It's not for somebody to use in the pursuit of their own personal needs. It's for the citizens of the country. Yet people, apparently, not everybody, but a lot of people apparently believe this thing that, oh, the FBI, and oh, they're terrible. They're not terrible. Do you realize how many things they've saved us from, be it internationally, be it domestically? It's really incredible. We have such a wonderful situation here. And I hope with this change in the Congress on the House side and the strengths of the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, that we get back to the things that make it worth living in this country and not having to constantly hear the fear-mongering and the hate and the racism and the bigotry. And we can't stop people from speaking, but we can basically sit back and say, hey, wait a second, there's something wrong with this. This doesn't make any sense. I don't want to be yelling and screaming at people. I want to have a civil life and do my thing and let everybody else do their thing.
Well, it's an interesting dilemma that we face over the course of the next couple of years, simply because we have to reinstitute some sort of faith in our government.
We also have to reinstitute, and this is really critical. We have something here that I said earlier this morning, and I mean this. There's, you know, stop looking at Facebook. Stop looking at the internet for your information. Call your representative. Learn. You have to relearn now how to actually communicate with an individual. And if we just started that, it's like, okay, you want to respond to something? Hold that comment. Don't write it down. Call the appropriate person. That will start a totally different dialogue instantaneously. You find yourself sitting there commenting and then responding and to just an individual out there over a topic, you're wasting your time.
Yeah, to wrap it up, Jim, anybody can tweet and anybody can make a post, and it's not going to make a damn bit of difference. But if all those people that tweeted and posted, those millions and millions of people on Facebook and Twitter,
that are so real,
and they called their representative, guess what? That makes a difference.
Yeah. And for the rest, you should, you know, study Vote. Spanish or something. No, this goes back to what the woman said a few weeks ago. It's like, all right, now go do your life, and when it's time to vote again, that's where we need you.
So we will let you wrap up the final minute and a half, Jim.
Well, there's actually something you can do. If you are watching a given program on television and you disagree with a point of view, you can send an email, Twitter, whatever you use, to the host or to the station. I know of several instances where it wasn't a tit-for-tat, a fighting kind of thing, but the comment was responded to in several occasions I know about. So Jill and Marshall have said this. I guess we all have said this over the years. You know, you got to take responsibility. You got to communicate and get rid of your frustration by expressing yourself in writing, on the phone, in the email. And I totally concur with what you're saying about Facebook. They are not, they've not really solved the problem. And getting off it for a while might be relief, like when you have a headache and you take an aspirin and you stop being so tense for whatever reason.
All right, Jim.
Anyhow, the Super Bowl is coming up. I hope they use the cameras for the plays. It is a time for us to kind of get together as a nation and celebrate some of the great things we have here, great athletes. So enjoy it, but most importantly, enjoy your family. Enjoy those kids. Make sure you hug them. Make sure you have a big smile for your neighbor next door, even though you might feel a little bit out of it.
All right, and Jim, I'm going to say something here which you probably never expected me to ever say. Go Patriots.
Oh, God, you're hurting me.
Okay.
Now you're hurting me.
All right.
Anyhow, okay, buddy.
Take
Go
care.
Rams.
All right, take care.
Love you all.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. God bless the United States of America. We're going to get through it. Goodbye.
All right. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.